Animals live in an uncertain world, and to reduce uncertainty and make effective decisions, animals need to use information. Animals can use information to guide many decisions, from where to forage, with whom to mate, and where to reproduce. Now, the idea of using information to guide decision-making has recently been suggested as a unifier for the field of behavioral ecology. In fact, this is exemplified in a recent book by Danchin and colleagues, where they argue that behavioral ecology is increasingly adopting an information-driven approach. The types of information used can be diverse, and we can divide them into two major categories, personal information and social information. So first, personal information. This is what we often think about when we think about information use. This is an animal going directly out into its environment, assessing the situation, and then using that information to guide decisions. Social information is where an animal will use the location and the performance of conspecifics in decision making. And this can be very effective and efficient. So for instance, if we had a female insect deciding where to lay eggs, the best information out there for her to use might be the location and the performance of conspecific offspring. Now it's important to acknowledge the use of social information because it can result in some unexpected outcomes. Often in the field of ecology, we think of competition being a very strong force, and that because of competition, animals should disperse and really reduce their overlap and competition for resources. But with social information, often does best for animals to aggregate together so they can use this information. Okay, I'm going to talk about social information in a couple different ways today. First, in terms of type, and that's that some cues will inherently contain more information or be more reliable. So if we talk about that female insect making a reproductive decision again, she might do best to look at the performance of conspecific nymphs or larvae. That might be a richer source of information for her than looking at the location of conspecific eggs. And that's because the presence of and the performance of nymphs and larvae not only give cues into where another female has put her eggs, but also that those offspring have survived in that environment. Okay, another way I'll talk about social information in terms of timing. And that's that current information is often more accurate than prior information. Current information thus should be weighed more in decision making. Prior information, there's a bit of a time lag here, and during that time lag, environments can change, and thus prior information can be less reliable. Okay, so a few studies out there have looked at both the type and the timing of social information and how it influences decisions in animals, so that's what we set out to do. So the research questions we address are, how are different types of social information used, and does timing affect their use? We address these questions in regards to the reproductive decisions of a female insect. We looked at how social information cues influenced whether or not she laid eggs, and also the allocation, the number of eggs she laid. And to our knowledge, this is the first study to look at how social information influences reproductive allocation. Okay, we did this study with the cactus bug, Chelonidia vitiger. This bug lives on prickly pear cactus that grows in many areas of the United States and Mexico. We did this study in Florida, and in Florida, this cactus bug reproduces from March through October. And there are overlapping generations. And this is important because it means, because there's overlapping generation, that when a female is out there making her reproductive decisions, she's going to run into conspecific eggs and nymphs. And these may act as social information cues. Okay, so as I mentioned, ovipositing females routinely encounter conspecific eggs and nymphs. Also, one thing we noticed right away when we started studying this species is that adults and nymphs aggregate. There are some cactus patches that have quite a number of nymphs or adults, and then some cactus patches that have none. And when you see species aggregating like this, it's very suggestive that social information cues may be important. So another point is that oviposition site is likely important for offspring in this species. And these nymphs are, of course, wingless, so they have reduced mobility. And we've also rarely recorded them moving among cactus patches. So where that mom lays her eggs, that's going to have an important effect on, and basically determines the environment that those nymphs are going to grow up in. And that's going to have important implications for their fitness. Okay, so to do this study, we manipulated the type of social information cues that these that ovipositing females encountered, and we also manipulated the timing. So we looked at, we presented females with conspecific eggs or nymphs, either 5 eggs laid on a cactus spine or 5 nymphs, and we exposed them to these social information cues either prior to reproduction or current with reproduction. And our main predictions, we had 3 main predictions. The first one is that social information cues will be important. When females encounter conspecific eggs and nymphs, they're going to produce more eggs. Second, we predicted that nymphs would be a richer source of social information than eggs. These nymphs show that not only have eggs been there, but these offspring have survived. So we expected females would lay more eggs when they encountered nymphs. And we also expected that current information would be weighed more than prior information. So the particulars about this study, so we had 5 main treatments, as you can see here. We exposed females to eggs and nymphs prior to when they were reproductive or current with reproduction. And then there was a control treatment where there's no social information cues. So the animals we used were second generation laboratory animals that were reproductively mature but yet had not mated yet. We put them into this container, or containers like this, that had a single cactus pad or cladode that was planted in the soil and had a single spine. And so for females that encountered an egg treatment, they had 5 conspecific eggs that were laid on that cactus spine. For the nymphs treatment, there were 5 nymphs running around in that container. So the prior treatment lasted 1 week, where females, before they had reproduced, they were in that environment with those eggs or nymphs, or with no social information cues. Left them there a week. After that time, we changed the treatment. And we also then put in a male into that container, so then the female could mate and she could reproduce. That was the current treatment. Then we also watched those eggs for a while to determine the proportion that actually hatched. Okay. So actually, I want to go over once more what we expected. We expected that when females encountered eggs and nymphs, that they would themselves produce more eggs. Nymphs would be weighed more than eggs in decision making, and also that current information would be weighed more than prior. So first, I'm going to talk about the probability of laying eggs here on the y-axis. This is relative to the control. And we found that neither the type nor the timing of social information affected whether or not females laid eggs. Okay, next we looked at the number of eggs produced, again relative to the control. And we found that indeed females use these social information cues in their reproductive allocation. Females exposed to conspecific eggs and nymphs laid more eggs themselves. So this is very clear with the eggs. When females encountered conspecific eggs, either current or prior, they laid more eggs. But with nymphs, it was a little more complicated. And this was a little bit surprising to us. When females encountered nymphs current with their reproduction, they laid more eggs. Well, when they encountered nymphs prior to when they reproduced, they did not necessarily, in fact, they did not lay more eggs. This is no different than the control statistically. So what's going on here? Well, one thing is that nymphs may not provide an accurate source of prior information. There's a high predation rate of nymphs in the field, so if females have encountered nymphs before they actually reproduce, that might mean very, very little to them. And in fact, in this experiment, these nymphs, the females that were had nymphs as prior information, we then removed those nymphs when those females were laying eggs. So that may have replicated a predation event. So that might be at least partially explain what we see here. Okay, we also looked at the number of, or the proportion of eggs that actually hatched. And not all eggs hatched. In fact, 20% of eggs did not hatch in this study. And however, we found no influence of either type or timing and social information on the proportion of eggs that hatched. So in summary, the type and the timing of social information influence the number of offspring produced. We found that females laid more eggs when they encounter conspecific eggs, either prior or current to reproduction, and that females laid more eggs when they encountered nymphs current with reproduction. So based on these results and other recent research coming out, it's becoming increasingly clear that social information, the use of it can be complex and dynamic and have multiple implications for individuals, populations, and communities. So this is an area that definitely deserves future research. Okay, I'd like to thank Ryan Early, John Seppinen, and Tom Vallone for giving advice on a previous version of this manuscript that the talk's based on. Also thanks the University of Florida for facilities, and this paper recently came out in Biology Letters. Thanks for your attention today. Yes.
I just try to see this in an evolutionary context, perhaps. I don't know, I'm probably getting too wild here, but what about if the first female lays eggs on the wrong place, and then the second female finds that as a cue and continues with the error on the quality of the plant? And this is just...
Sure, the question is, putting this in evolutionary context, if a female makes the wrong decision and then other females start copying her, why, I guess the idea is, how could that evolve, or why, or would it evolve? I think that's a really good question. I think that shows that the use of personal information could essentially never be thrown out. The use of personal information in directly assessing a certain habitat will be important. And there's been, to my knowledge, very few studies, maybe no studies, that have actually looked at the relative use of personal information and social information. How much do they actually weigh those social information cues versus what they're encountering themselves?